Which I believe explains how folk like Samuel Butler, who was horribly, horribly abused as a child, became such a loving human being. He communed a lot with the earth, a lot, and was able to, therefore, develop his own thoughts, you know? They have their own thoughts, and we need to be able to hear our own thoughts. We turn now to the preface to the original edition, and then the chapter Poisonous Pedagogy in Alice Miller's For Your Own Good. The most psychoanalysis is able to do, according to a typical reproach, is help a privileged minority, and only to a very limited extent at that. This is certainly a legitimate complaint, as long as the benefits derived from analysis remain the exclusive property of the privileged few, but this need not be the case. The reactions to my first book, Prisoners of Childhood, The Drama of the Gifted Child and the Search for the True Self, and my comment, because I don't really like that word, gifted, I believe it's a tool of rule, as if we aren't all in possession of unique gifts. What she's pointing out, or at least one aspect of what she's pointing out, is that problems of voice, authentic voice, historically, quote unquote, and we're talking class society when we use that word, tended to reside in, was more often a malady of those power intentionally privileges. And we'll be talking more about that, I'm sure. Continuing. The reactions to my first book, Prisoners of Childhood, convinced me that resistance to what I have to say is no greater outside the psychoanalytic community than among members of the profession. In fact, the younger generation of the lay public shows perhaps even more openness to my ideas than do my professional colleagues. Reflecting on this, I realized how essential it is to make the insights gained from analysis of a few available to the public at large rather than hide these insights away on dusty library shelves. Thus, I decided to devote the next several years of my life to writing. I am primarily interested in describing everyday situations occurring outside the psychoanalytic setting that can, however, be more fully understood if viewed from a psychoanalytic perspective. This doesn't mean applying a ready-made theory to society, for I believe I can truly understand a person only if I hear and feel what he or she is saying to me without hiding or barricading myself behind theories. Depth psychology, practiced both on others and on ourselves, provides us as analysts with insights into the human psyche that accompany us everywhere in life, sharpening our sensitivity outside as well as inside the consulting room. And my comment, we've been arguing that hidden power is a key missing piece from Alice's essential insights into how the base mindset of class and totalitarianism, obedience, gets established in the larger society by means of its inculcation into the next generation through us, the parents. Rooting the dynamics she sees within the class system, which she does by implication when she, in her later American preface, which we read last week, refers to the millennia of poisonous pedagogy that it now falls on us to overcome, avoids the power-sanctioned and so pervasive problem for our honoring our solidarity of universalizing class-specific patterns. Continuing. On the other hand, the general public is still far from realizing that our earliest experiences unfailingly affect society as a whole. That psychoses, drug addiction, and criminality are encoded expressions of these experiences. The fact is usually either disputed or accepted only on a strictly intellectual level. Since the intellect fails to influence the area of the emotions, the practical world of politics, law, or psychiatry continues to be dominated by medieval concepts characterized by the outward projection of evil. Can a book help to bring about knowledge of an emotional nature? I don't know the answer to this question, but the hope that my writings will set an inner process in motion, at least for some readers, seems reason enough to make the attempt.